Good morning, happy Sabbath. Can everybody see the board good from where you are? Miss Becky, just let me know if I block you. Everybody can see it good, right? All right, so let me have us bow our heads for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for another opportunity for us to come together and spend quality time with you. And we ask you now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be upon me. I pray that all hearts and minds will be open as we share a very important lesson that was first given to me that I should share with others. So Lord, I pray that they not see me, but see you speaking through me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me ask everybody a question. Can any of you think of a story in the Bible where a guy was told to build a boat? What's that story called? Noah and the what? Noah and the ark. Let me ask everybody a question. Did Noah come up with the design for the ark, or did God give him the dimensions for the ark? All right, turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. I want to see something. Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. All right, so I have a lot of scriptures, so y'all just kind of bear with me. I'm going to try to shoot through these. So Genesis 6, and we're going to take a look at verses 13 through 16. So listen to this. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, shall pitch it within and without. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with the lower, the second, and the third stories thou shalt make it. All right, let me ask y'all a question. Is it true that Noah was given a blueprint for an ark? Yes or no? Okay. Is it true that if you follow this blueprint and got into this boat, you were saved? Okay, so we all agree, if you didn't get inside the boat, what happened? You didn't make it, right? Let me ask you another question. How many ways was it inside the ark? It was one. It was a door in the side of the ark, right? And it also had one small opening where at the top. There was a window at the top to let in what? Light, right, it let in light. So God gave Noah a structure where there was only one way in, and then there was one point at the top where light constantly shined in, where you looked up to receive your light. That's interesting, right? Okay, so go with me to Exodus chapter 25, verses 8 through 9. Y'all follow me? Exodus 25, verses 8 through 9. All right. So listen to this. It's interesting that you find in another place in the Bible, God gives another blueprint. And this one's found in Exodus 25, verses 8 through 9. Listen to this. And let them make me a what? Sanctuary, that I may do what? You know, it's funny. God is always trying to come hang out with us, but we always running from him. That's the funny thing, right? Even when we ain't acting right, he's trying to come hang out with us. According to all that I show thee. No. So did Moses come up with this design, or this design came from God? Now, here's the interesting thing. It says after what is that? It says after the what? The pattern, right? So, of the tabernacle and the pattern of all instruments thereof, so shall ye make it. And they shall make an ark of gopher wood, shittim wood, 2 cubits thereof, and then it goes in some other dimension. So once again, we see Noah with a blueprint, and then we see who else? Moses with a blueprint, right? Now, like I said, just follow me. Go to Hebrews chapter 8, verses 4 through 5. I want to see something. Hebrews 8, 4 through 5. All right, so Hebrews 8, verses 4 through 5. Listen to this. For if we are on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For God said to Moses, thou make all things according to the, what does it say again? So when Moses built this, if you have a pattern or something, there must be a what? Original, right? There must be an original. That's pretty interesting. There must be an original. All right, go to the Hebrews 9:22. When you have it, say amen. All right, so follow me on this. And it says, and almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is therefore necessary that the, what's that word again? Patterns. We got an S over there. Patterns. Patterns of things that are in the where? Wait a minute. So Moses was given the blueprint of a replica of a building that was already existing? But the heavenly things themselves were better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the what? But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So, y'all follow me for a second, right? Thank you, Zahi. Running out of color real quick. So just follow me for a second, because we're about to draw a picture. Noah was given a blueprint, right? And if you follow that blueprint led to you being saved, right? The Bible says God did something real interesting. He gave Moses a blueprint. But the blueprint that Moses got, it was a pattern of something that already existed in heaven. I'm going to quote a scripture. It's in Psalms. It says, thy way, O God, is in the what? Sanctuary. So if I want to learn the right way about how to do something, is God telling me to take a look at the sanctuary? How about this? John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the, whoa, why did he say that? Moses built a building that was a pattern of something in heaven. And the Bible says that pattern is a way. And then Jesus says, I am the way, the what? So if I want to learn about truth, do I need to take a look at this building? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the, oh man. So Noah was given a blueprint that if you followed his blueprint, you got saved and it led to life. Moses was given a blueprint, and if you followed Moses' blueprint, you got what? Saved, and it led to life. Does everybody follow me on this? All right, now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to class. I'm getting ready to draw a picture on the board. But before I draw the picture, there's something I need all of us to understand. Do y'all know that there's only one doctrine that our church has that no other church has on the face of the planet? What is it? You know what? If somebody wasn't a part of our church, or maybe you might be sitting right here, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. What makes that so important? Let me bring it home. When God saved Israel and pulled them out of Egypt, he got them out of Egypt, and then when he got them in the wilderness, did Moses get a blueprint and Israel get a blueprint that nobody else on the face of the planet had? Is there a church today that has a doctrine that no other church in the world has? And the Bible says it leads to the way, the truth, and the life. Now, with that being said, watch this. So, mine is going to be a very crude drawing. Sorry, messing with me this morning. right, here we go. Can everybody see? Everybody see my picture? All right, so what I'm gonna do, y'all can tell I'm an artist, can't you? All right, so. Y'all like my little angels? All right, everybody see my lovely box? Y'all know what this is? It's a sanctuary, right? Now, Jesus said if we study this, we'll understand salvation. But you're probably looking at it like there's no way. So, first thing I want to bring to your attention. Y'all notice Jesus, well, you know, when Moses went to, before he went to Egypt, he asked God, he said, God, when I go down there and tell this man he need to listen to me, what name should I tell him of the person that sent me? What did God say?
I am that I am.
You know what's funny? People get on us all the time for believing in the Old Testament. Y'all hear people say, I'm a New Testament Christian. Y'all in the Old Testament all the time. You hear that all the time? So you ever notice that Jesus called himself some very funny things? Now, how many doors were there into the sanctuary? One. Can somebody go to John chapter 10, verse 9 and tell me what Jesus called himself? Anybody, it doesn't matter. John chapter 10, verse 9. John chapter 10, verse 9. Say it again, Saeed. What does it say? I wonder why Jesus called himself the door. Maybe he was the only access point to get to God. Maybe I'm starting to see where this is going, right? You know, right after you walked in the sanctuary, you came to this little square thing called an altar. Does anybody know what animal was killed on that altar? Is there any place in the Bible where Jesus is called the... Several places. Remember John the Baptist saw Jesus? He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That's funny. Jesus seems to be identifying himself with the furniture that is inside this building. Now, once you get past the altar, you get to this little circle thing called a laver. Does anybody know what was in it? Now, I know there's no scripture that says Jesus says, I'm the living water. I know there's no scripture that say that, right? Hey, y'all see why people are confused in the New Testament? Because you're not reading the Old Testament. Why is Jesus identifying himself with stuff in this building? He was walking around every day trying to give y'all hints. I'm the door. I'm the lamb. I'm the water. Are y'all studying your Bibles? Probably not. See, Jesus is 10 steps ahead of us. Now, once you got past the first part, you got into the, what we call this part? The holy place, right? I'm gonna do this so we can, everybody will know what we call each part. So this is the courtyard. This was the holy. And this was called the most holy, all right? So everybody see this, right? What was on the right side of the sanctuary on top of a table? Bread? Did Jesus ever call himself the bread of life? Oh man, so we gotta write that down too, right? So, wow, so. That's interesting. What was directly across from the table of the showbread on the side? The seven candlestick, right? What do candlesticks do? Is there a scripture that says Jesus says, I'm the light of the world? Man, are y'all starting to see where this is going? Boy, y'all Seventh-day Adventists are weird. Are you sure? Because it looks like we're following the blueprint. Now, what was in the middle? Close to the most holy place. Does anybody know what that one's called? The altar of incense. What does incense do? It smells good or bad? Y'all sure? You got the right smell? All right, everybody, everybody see this. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. It's Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. I want to see something right quick. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 2. And it says, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a... Wow, Jesus is even associated with a sweet smell before whom? God. Now, you know right here, to go into the most holy, you know there was a curtain. Did y'all know every time they killed the lamb, they took the blood, a lot of times the priest would go and sprinkle that blood on that curtain? It's in Leviticus. Now, let me ask you a question. If you sprinkle blood all over a room and leave it like that for a whole year, what is that room going to smell like? Not good. Isn't it interesting that God put an altar of incense right before that curtain? Y'all heard me say this before. We have what? Dirty, nasty, stinky, filthy lives. And the only thing that makes us sweet before God is who? Christ's righteousness. The altar of incense also represents your prayers that go up before God. But guess what? We're supposed to always ask for things in whose name? Man, do y'all see where this building is going? Do y'all see where this building is going? So, he is our, I'll just put intercessor. I don't have a lot of space. I'm going to put it right there. Now, once you got past this, the third room was, what was in there? We all know what was in there. The Ark of the Covenant, which had the what? The Ten Commandments. Is Jesus called the lawgiver in the Bible? Yes, he is. So he's also called the lawgiver. Y'all think this accident? No. It's not accident. Isn't it funny how when people read the New Testament, they have no idea what Jesus is talking about? Because he's trying to tell you, go back and study the what? Study the blueprint. Now, here's another question. What was right here? Say it again, Kenny. The Bible says that he told Moses and Aaron, I will dwell right here. That's where God was, in the sanctuary. In the center of the sanctuary, in the most holy part, right? Now, the sanctuary tracks how you get saved. Watch. I'm trying to get to who? So there's steps to getting to God, right? So I'm trying to get to God. How many ways is there to get to God?
One.
Who is that way?
Jesus.
Does the Bible teach that?
Yeah.
I wonder where Seventh-day Adventists get that from. Just a quick side note. Does anybody know what the colors were of the door? Blue. Red. And what's the last one? Purple. What does the color blue represent in the Bible? What do you see blue associated with? The law of God. You notice that the Ten Commandments were supposedly made of sapphire stone, which is a blue stone. When they were to put the law on their garments, it was supposed to have been blue pieces that hung off their garments. Blue is always associated in the Bible with the law of God. So if I'm going to follow Jesus, do I have to realize that I'm under the condemnation of the law? What about red? What does red represent in the Bible? That's a given. Everybody knows. The blood of Christ. So before I can even realize I got to come to God, I got to realize that I'm a sinner and I must accept Christ's sacrifice to even be able to walk into the door first. Here's another thing. When you mix blue and red, what color do you get? You mix blue and red, you get purple. What does purple represent in the Bible? Royalty. So you telling me if I accept Christ and follow his law, I become a part of the royal family of God? Man, is this accident? Is this accident? So guess what? First thing I got to realize is that Jesus is my only way. Now, once I get past the door, I have to realize that guess what? He has also become the Lamb. And he dies for my sins.
Once I accept the fact that he has died for my sins, then what's the next step? What does Saeed and them do with you up here in the swimming pool? What do they do? You get dipped. Wow. This is interesting. All the arguments that people have, should you get baptized first? Or should you believe in Jesus first? Should you read your Bible first? Just follow the blueprint. Realize Jesus is your only way. Accept his sacrifice. And then you get baptized. Now, once you get past that part, now that you've decided to have a relationship with Christ, now, should I read a book every day?
No.
What is it called?
The Bible.
Where is that in the sanctuary? Oh, the bread. So now I have to make sure I am reading my Bible every day. Oh, but who helps me to follow the Bible? He's a constant guide. What is the, oh man, there was an oil in this 7-lamp candlestick. Holy Spirit guides you. Oh, who I gotta make sure I talk to? If you're gonna be in a relationship with somebody, you gotta definitely do this with them all the time. What is that? What do we call talking to God?
Prayer.
Are y'all starting to see a symbol in the middle of the sanctuary?
Yes.
And then finally we start to realize God is like, guess what I need you to do? I need you to follow my law. You see, do we really study our Bibles? Was Jesus really trying to tell us? You know this was before the Bible was written, right? Y'all do know that, right? He actually gave Israel a model so that whoever else came, whoever wrote a book, whoever said they were a prophet, guess what model it had to fit? It had to fit this model. So what you see is what? A cross going into the sanctuary. Now, watch this. Let's go over the story of Israel. Y'all ready? Was Israel in sin like we be in sin? We sin in the world. What was Israel enslaved to? Egypt, right? Let me ask y'all a question. They were out here, I'm gonna put E for Egypt. What did they have to sacrifice to get out of Egypt? A Passover what? Oh man, they sacrificed a Passover lamb. And then after they sacrificed the Passover lamb, did they cross a place with water called the Red Sea? And then after they got on the other side, did it rain manna? Did God protect them with a pillar of fire? Did they have constant communion in the wilderness with God through Moses, their intercessor, and Aaron? Now, oh, I know y'all know this next part of the story. What was the very next part of the Bible that came right after this? They got to what mountain? Now, what happened at Mount Sinai? They gave him the Ten Commandments. That's really funny that God gave a blueprint before the Bible was written that laid out exactly how you and me should save and also laid out the exact history of Israel if you followed it going from the bottom all the way to the top. This should make your heart burn within you when you take a look at this. So, let's go to another section, right? So, you have three phases to your salvation. What's the first thing Jesus does? He justifies us, right? How do you get justified? Watch this. When I realize that Jesus is the only way, I accept his sacrifice and I get baptized, now I am justified before God. Now guess what? Now listen, this is the part where we all mess up. You ready? In the first room is where you become a Christian. Once I realize that Jesus is the only way, I am justified. You know what we call that? It's called taking care of sins of your past. God takes care of all your sins of your past. Everything you've ever done before this room is taken care of. Now here's the part we all trip up on. The second part of the room, the second thing that God does for you, is it's called what? This is the one we don't like. God took care of all your problems in the past, but what about all the problems you still got now? Y'all know everybody in this church got problems, right? God takes care of sins of your past, and he also helps you work on sins of your present. Now, how do I get rid of sins of my present?
Prayer.
I got to read my Bible. I got to listen to the Holy Spirit. But this is all accident, right? This is all accident. So God justifies me. He takes care of everything in my past. He sanctifies me and helps me with everything in the present. See, this is the part where Christians don't want to deal with. This one, I become a Christian. This one, I actually grow as a Christian. Oh, Christians are supposed to grow. Remember, you said you must be what? Born again. Any of y'all know a baby that's 20 years old? We know some people that act like a baby at 20 years old, but do we know any babies that are 20 years old? No. So as a Christian, I should what? Grow. And then the last part is justification, sanctification, and then it is glorify. And then this is where God takes care of me and you for the rest of our future. So God takes care of your past, your present, and your future problems if you follow the path of the sanctuary. Is everybody clear on that? Now, here's something else. This also represents your body. All right? So, the first room of the sanctuary, right here, what got spilled by the lamb? What comes out of blood, right? And over here, the laver, what did you have in it? Water. Blood and water, right? Your body is a temple. Blood and water. Now watch this. What happened if you took an unclean animal inside the sanctuary? What did God say would happen to you? Does anybody know? You were punished with what? Death. So you're trying to tell me if I was to eat a pig, and a pig is an unclean animal, and that animal actually puts toxins in my body that shortens my lifespan, it leads to death. Does not the New Testament teach that your body is a temple of God? And if anybody who destroys the temple, him will God destroy? Oh, y'all Seventh-day Adventists, y'all making up all this stuff. Are you sure? Because we're following the blueprint. Y'all made that up. I don't know, because looks like to me we're following the blueprint down to the T, right? Because remember, Israel got a blueprint. Everybody else had to adhere to their blueprint, right? So if we have the blueprint, we need to adhere to our what? Blueprint. That's interesting. Your body's a temple. But if you take an unclean thing and put it in the temple, it brought about death. If you took an unclean animal into the sanctuary, it brought what? Death. So, is everybody still following me on this? Now, this deals with your body. The second phase, you know what deals with your mind? Guess what? When I'm studying, I'm using my what? Mind. When I'm listening to the Holy Spirit speaks through you to your what? Mind. When I'm praying and having a conversation, I'm using my what? Mind. God wants to clean up your body. Why y'all think society does health bites? Because the sanctuary teaches God cares about your health. But he also wants to help you with your mental health. Didn't he mention that earlier too? God will take care of your body, your mind. Now here's the thing. The last part we got to be careful about is the what? Spirit, right? Now watch this. If your sanctuary was right, who dwelt in your sanctuary? Nah. Okay, you're right. Well, let's say I don't want to read my Bible. Let's say I don't feel like praying. I came to Jesus. I don't believe I got to get baptized. Well, I definitely don't need this right here. I don't care about no law of God, keeping the Sabbath and all that stuff. What did you just do to the blueprint? You destroyed the blueprint, right? Now, I do construction work, right? So I'm a concrete finisher. I have an apprenticeship program where I teach at RISU concrete. So if somebody gives you a blueprint for a foundation, if you tell me you want your foundation level, and I pull your foundation like this, what's your house gonna do? What if I don't pull your foundation as thick as the plans require it to? What if I pull your concrete that thin? What happens to your foundation? It cracks and crumbles. What happens to your whole building if your foundation isn't correct? Yeah, you're right. That's part on, yeah. You're right about that. You're definitely right about that. You get sued. So.
I was just watching a program yesterday where they were digging the trench.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
This particular one, there was big oak trees nearby, and there were roots like you read about.
They will tear them up. Yes, ma'am.
Otherwise, they have air bubbles in those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. It will tear them all to pieces. Now, guys, I'm going to need to explain something else to everybody so they can understand this. I hear all the time people tell me, oh, you don't need to study your Bible. You don't need the Holy Spirit. Once you come to Jesus, just erase the last two parts of the room. Folks, that's an incomplete sanctuary. That does not go along with the pattern. People argue with us all day long, but your theology does not fit God's theology. And you can't say it's an Old Testament teaching because what did Jesus say in the New Testament? I am the door, I am the lamb, I'm the water, I'm the bread, I'm the light, I'm your intercessor, I'm the lawgiver. You know, I've seen people on site argue about the blueprint. But what does the blueprint say?
I think we should do it this way.
You can't do it your way. The whole building gonna go down. But there's people that's like that. What does God call us to do? Follow the blueprint. No matter if the whole world is falling apart, follow the blueprint. All right? So, I'm about to end it. If you take the sanctuary, I want to show y'all one last thing. It also tracks Jesus' life, right? So Jesus came, and you know he created a door. You know, why couldn't Jesus just be born, and they could have let Herod kill him, and then they would have been like, the Son of God died, we good to go. Why couldn't it work like that? Why Jesus had to go 33 years? Well, remember, the sanctuary service taught that the lamb had to be 1 year old. It had to be a full adult. Jesus had to actually live a life like you and me so he could actually bring that robe to cover you and me. He had to make it. Isn't it interesting that he first had to make sure okay, what was the first thing that happened to Adam and Eve when they messed up? They got naked. What is the first thing that God did when he was trying to help us? Oh, I need to put something on Adam and Eve. Let me cover them up. Y'all okay? Y'all naked? Here you go. The first thing God did was made something to cover our nakedness. Jesus came down here for 33 years to live a perfect life to accredit to you because we are here in our filth and we're naked on the streets. That's why the Bible says, when I was naked, you clothed me. You see how this stuff makes sense when you understand the sanctuary? The New Testament makes complete sense when you understand the sanctuary. It's not confusing anymore. So then, Jesus did what? He died on the cross. And then the next thing was, you know, water represents baptism, but you know, when we get baptized, y'all know why we go up under the water and we come back up? Because the Bible says in Romans 6 that it says we die with Christ and we raise with Christ. Do you know why? What's something that a living person does that dead people don't do?
Breathe.
Why is it when you get baptized? Sorry, you baptizing people? Okay. Sorry, dip you. Any of y'all try to breathe while you're up under the water when Sorry holding you down? You know why you go up under complete submersion? Because you stop breathing. Romans 6 says that replicates you dying as Christ died. Then the Bible says, Saeed, take his hand off your face, and you come back up. What's the first thing you do when you're born? You are reborn in newness of life. It means you are resurrected as a old person or a new person. You see how everything in the New Testament makes sense when you put it in the context of the sanctuary? It makes sense. So Jesus died, and then he was resurrected. And then, you know what's funny? When you get to the last book in the Bible, you find Jesus amongst the seven candlesticks. He's walking through the seven candlesticks. You start going through Revelation, it says he's at the table of showbread with the seven churches. And then you go a little further, I think it's around, I can't remember exactly where it's at, but he gets to the altar of incense. And then the Bible starts talking about him towards the end of Revelation. He's up at the Ark of the Covenant. And then after that, the Bible says that's it. He takes off his priest's robe and he says, I'm going back to earth to get my people. The whole story of the Bible is Jesus walking through the sanctuary. So guess what? The first room is everything that he's done on earth. And the last two rooms is everything that he is doing in heaven. Once he gets done in heaven, guess what? He comes back to get us. Guess what our church teaches? You go to any other church, what? Jesus died. People be saying this, Jesus died 2,000 years ago. Why can't he come back yet? Because they don't study the sanctuary to know Jesus had two roles. He came as a lamb to die. Then he has to go to heaven and work on our behalf in the sanctuary before his Father. And the Bible says when he finishes that, then the end comes. Every answer that we have about Christianity, every answer that people hit us with, you ever hear people say, you know, I came to the Seventh-day Adventist Church because I learned stuff here that I've never learned anywhere else? It's because we got the same sanctuary, the same message. Now, does anybody want me to keep this up? Keep a picture of it, y'all? Y'all good? I'm finna erase all this. All right, y'all. Y'all talk to Saeed after this. Then you still got that model? Okay. Yeah. Mine was a crude model. Now, mine's not an exact replica. So, and I'm going to end it with this. Out of the three rooms in the sanctuary, I'm going to do it like this. I'm laying it on its side. The last room, did y'all know the last room of the sanctuary was a perfect square, right? So right here is where God dwelt. Did you know when Adam and Eve sinned? The Bible says Adam and Eve got kicked out over to the east, all right? When they kicked out the garden, when they didn't act right what God did, boom, got to get out, all right? The Bible says they had to go to the east, and they used to be in communion with God. When the Bible says they got put away from the presence of God. Do you know all three rooms, this room was the only one that was a perfect square. Can anybody tell me, Revelation chapter 22, there's a city that's built. Can anybody tell me what shape that city is built in? Is it a perfect one? It's a perfect square. We used to see God's face. Man has been separated from God. But the last chapter of the Bible says that we're going to end up back in that perfect square. And Revelation chapter 22 says, then we shall see his face. What is the message of the Bible? It's God taking us through the sanctuary to get us back so that we may be with him. Amen? That's all I have.